I don't know, you just you can't fake it, right? And I also, with our human animal relationships, the human horse relationships, it's you get what you need, not what you want.
Aha.
So if we can surrender to that, you know, but that's why I kind of threw in earlier. I'm like, we are such a fast-paced society of instant gratifications. I want it, I got it. And the animals, especially the horses, tell you to slow down, slow your roll, let me lead. And that's a beautiful thing.
There is a depth and a breadth to our lives that largely goes unexplored. As an equestrian life mindset coach and host of this podcast, I am here to lead you on that exploration. Deep conversations covering topics in and out of the show ring with industry leaders and unsung heroes alike, sharing their stories and what makes their journey unique, but relatable at the same time. We all have stories to share and lessons to trade. Something we've learned from a horse or from each other. So relax and be ready to listen with more than just your ears. I'm Tracy Mitchell. Welcome to Hitting Your Stride. Imagine if you could know what your horse was thinking and how you could open yourself up to a communication channel you'd only ever dreamed of. You could experience what they think and feel and come to understand your relationship with them on a more connected level. For Meg Vickel, her world is all about understanding that connection by listening to them and passing on their messages. It's not about the whinnies or the neighs or the stomping of hooves. Meg communicates with horses and all sorts of other animals by opening herself to their energies and their hearts to hear them and express those thoughts to the humans who care for them. It's a field that Meg discovered she had a knack for and one she's devoted herself to. It's taken time for her to trust what she hears and learn that as long as the door of curiosity is open, even if it's only a crack, you can walk through with an open mind and heart to find wondrous things waiting for you. As she likes to say, where your attention goes, your energy flows. So keeping that in mind, let's welcome Meg Vickel, the animal communicator, the modern day Doolittle, to Hitting Your Stride. Welcome back to Hitting Your Stride, everyone. And today I have a very special and unique guest. Her name is Meg Vickel, and she is an animal communicator, and she is also known as the modern day Doolittle. I met Meg, I think you and I, Meg, met each other maybe about 6 or 7 years ago at a pet event and immediately drawn to each other. And I just think you are one of the most wonderful people I've ever met. So welcome to Hitting Your Stride.
Aw, thank you for that warm introduction, Tracy. Thanks for having me. And hello to all of your listeners out there. I'm excited for our conversation today.
Yes, well, thank you for taking the time. You're a busy woman. So let's start this off a little bit horsey, and I know I have a feeling how you're going to answer this, but let's just, you know, keeping it in the equestrian arena, no pun intended, let's start this out right. Can you tell me about the first time you communicated with a horse, what that was like, and how are horses to communicate with?
Okay, so I think I did allude to this in our preamble, was that I can't remember. I've read so many animals. I mean, when you talk 3,500 animals, it's a little bit hard to remember.
Wow.
And I always say to myself, you know, sometimes a little bit hard on myself. I think, why don't you remember? And I think, well, their messages aren't for me. They're humans. They're not for me. So I have to kind of download and then dump, so to speak. But I do have a very memorable horse, an early, early on horse. So, shall I tell you about that one?
Sure.
So thank you. So that's Bella. So Bella and I go way back to when she was earthbound, when she was alive and present day. And I met her through her caregiver, Karen. And when I read Bella at first, she's a saucy one, but she's so interesting in the sense that she didn't always want to talk to me. She would give me her butt a lot. And with time and patience and, you know, just a keen listening ear and genuine intent to know who she was and what messages she wanted to relay to Karen, did Bella open up? And now and again, then she did give me her butt. And again, when I'm talking giving me her butt, I mean clairvoyantly in my mind's eye, while I sit in my location and she's in hers, you know, some 50 miles away kind of thing. And then we never really did meet. And I thought it was just the most beautiful thing because when I did meet her, it was a bittersweet day because it was the day when she was getting ready to transition. It was her graduation day. And so I got out of the car and I went to see her and Karen. And they saw me coming from a distance. The very first thing Bella did was turn around and give me her butt. And
Wow.
I thought, well, if that isn't validation of the Bella that I know and came to know so long ago, I don't know what is. And I can't generalize all horses, much like I can't generalize all cats or dogs. They're all just so unique. And I'm really just reading their soul essence, their soul energy, or their energy signature, and not so much of them as a breed or a species. So I can't really say how they're different, but I can say horses have some of the biggest hearts that I've ever read. In terms of you, they let you know where you stand. And if you're not in your heart center, if you're not in your body, they'll let you know right away.
Okay. And as you're saying that, you know, with horses having the biggest hearts, or some of them having the biggest hearts, the thing that just popped into my mind is, do you find a difference between animals that are considered prey and those that are considered predators? As far as maybe how they generally come across to you or what they might have to say, like horses being a more sentient individual, who are considered prey. Do they speak a slightly different language?
No, because all animals speak a love language of the heart.
Okay.
It's you know what's so interesting? This just dawned on me, and it's about the heart, but the Heart Math Institute does a lot of research on animals and their heart frequency or their electromagnetic field. And we humans have a field that extends about 3 to 4 meters outside of us. And horses actually have a field that's 5 times that of humans. So
Wow.
when you're in the company of a horse, just the horse's heartbeat can change your mood, your blood pressure, stress levels, everything. So I don't know why that came up just now. I was just thinking about because we're on the topic of their hearts and their emotions and things like that. But yeah, just side tangent.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty special. I mean, given what I do on my day-to-day full-time job with the massaging, I get to experience that in so many ways. And yeah, it's quite the gift. And you know, since knowing you, I think especially after our very first meeting, I feel like I've become a little extra aware, a little extra sensed to what they say to me, or the vibe, or the I think, what is it that I tend to pick up? The clair audience, I think. I tend to
Hearing the
hear
voices.
the messages that I get every once in a while from them. And I am by no means saying I am a modern day Doolittle such as yourself. But yeah, I mean, over all these years, I can definitely say that I've had some really special interactions with them that's related to more than just massage.
Oh, and absolutely. I mean, if you love animals and you're a caregiver to an animal, or you work with animals in your case, offering, you know, a very intimate session of massage, there is no doubt in my mind that you are communicating with them because we're all hardwired to have that intuitive muscle. It's just, are we using it and are we flexing it and nurturing it? And yeah, I guaranteed that when you're in the company of a horse that you are receiving a lot more. And I would also say, Tracy, while we're on the topic of clairaudience, which is all hearing as an extrasensory perceptor of hearing their little voices come into your head, you would naturally be inclined to be very clairsentient, which is feeling their emotions. How are they
Right.
feeling? Because you're feeling your way through their body. No
Right.
doubt that they are translating a lot of how they're feeling back to you. So you know where to go and where your hands need to follow along on their body.
Now, that's really cool because there have been I don't know, probably about five horses in particular that I remember over all of these years that it was the weirdest thing. It's like all of a sudden I got this wave of energy and I would find myself welling up and knowing that these horses were going through things, whether it was a stressful time with their rider, whether it was a horse that had been previously abused and was going through, understanding, like reconnecting with touch. So that was like super special and very a vulnerable time for both this horse and I. But yeah, it's an amazing gift. I feel blessed every day I get to put my hands on horses and develop relationship with them. And I by no means go into it looking to pick up messages in any way, shape, or form and have communication. But yeah, there's definitely been times where it has been right up front for me to experience and to process for myself, because it's kind of interesting and it's a little overwhelming when those big moments hit you.
Yeah, I would say the same when I'm working with an animal and I have an overwhelm of emotion. Just usually it's a sense of, for me, it's like a, n not always just their emotions, but I just feel so much gratitude for
Yeah.
them opening up to me because they don't have to, right? They don't have to do that. And same for you. You can just move through your 3D experience of massaging
Yeah.
and be done with it. But you do take it a step further when you just open your heart. And like I said in the beginning of our conversation, is if your heart's not open, a horse will let you know where you stand and they won't always be nice about it, right? And if you're not present in your body, they'll let you know and they won't always be nice about it, right? You know, you're talking with these are the heavyweights, so to speak, versus our cats and dogs. So yeah, it's really
Wow.
unique.
I love the way you put that. Whew, okay, Meg. So, yeah, tell me about how you came to your calling as an animal communicator. What made you want to follow this path? And what has it been like for you since you decided this was what you wanted to do full time and to share your gift? And we can talk about this a little bit later on too, but, helping others find their gift of animal communication.
Yeah, that's a great. Thank you for bridging into this topic because I think it's important to know that I wasn't a Snow White kind of walking through the forest and talking to the birds and the deer and the squirrels. As even as a little girl, I don't have that kind of level of awareness. And it wasn't until my early 30s that I realized, actually, it's not even, I can't even take the credit that I realized it. I was actually told. I was told I had a knack for this, and at the time I was quite disappointed in my day job, so to speak. And I was suggested, why don't you just take a course on it, like a hobby? Like, while you're miserable doing your day job, why don't you just explore this? And I thought, well, I do love animals, so well, what the heck? So I did partner up with Maya Kincaid, who's out of Sedona, and she's one of the original trailblazers of animal communication. And I did a little bit of a workshop with her, and then she sent me on her, on my way. And I didn't really have a community at first. I was just forging my own way, figuring out a lot on my own. I only did 6 weeks with Maya, and then I started to offer my services just by volunteer and kind of a pay what you can structure, and just anyone that needed help and anyone who had an open heart and open mind that was open and receptive to messages on behalf of their animals. So that's really how it started. And it wasn't really a struggle at the beginning, and the testimonials that came back were really what kept me going because I thought, well, if I'm no good at this, why would I even like, why would I even try? Why would I try to fake it to make it, you know? And so I just kept going and it grew itself. And then there were media opportunities that helped the business kind of flourish or even make it a business in the first place. And then it became more of recognized internationally, and And then that's, as I said earlier on, like I've read thousands of animals now, and pardon me, I can't remember half the stuff, because it's not that I'm jaded or I don't care. It's frankly, I'm just so busy. But I want to speak to that piece about helping other people, is that we're all hardwired to have that sixth sense in us. And a lot of people dismiss it. A lot of people don't nurture it, whether someone told them not to, or if they just find it a little bit too odd. But I do have a community that I've built quite slowly, but with intention to be slowly built. And those people are kind of like a soul family to me. And as much as I support other people in their journey to learn and finesse their skill of animal communication, they also support me, because for a long time I felt very alone in doing animal communication. So I'm really proud to say that I offer workshops for people who have absolutely no experience, but just an open heart and open mind, and obviously a keen love for animals.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, there are so many things that I could ask you from that. But I think the first thing I want to ask is, so after your time with Maya and, you're coming into your own and you're processing what you're learning and you're processing that you've been told you have this gift. And as you're practicing and reaching out and having these conversations with people's animals, how hard was it for you to trust what you were hearing from these animals? Because I think that's the biggest thing that skeptics and other people are like, oh man, how does she know? And I know, along with that, I will say, remember I took your foundations course like that, and I loved it. But I'm sitting there going, and I remember you put up a picture of this cat, and you're like, all right, connect with it. Where are you? And I was really shocked and so surprised. I kind of zoned in on the right area where this cat was experiencing issues. But it's like, did I trust that initially? No. So, how did you manage to develop your skill and start trusting yourself?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think I just didn't I didn't take it too seriously, because I already had I didn't have to do it. I think that's what it was, and I was able to play. And I would say, for anyone who's dabbling or just thinking about it, I always say this to anyone that I facilitate their journey, any of my students, or just say, courage first, confidence next. Just dare say it. Just dare say it, because you don't know how much that could help their caregiver, help them. And if you held it back, it's not about us. We're just the messengers. It's a very humbling experience just to be like, dare say it. And it's even a term that one of my students said to me in a workshop, and it stuck with me. She goes, just dare say it. And she was saying that to someone else. I thought, exactly. She's kind of got to go on a limb, and the ego loves to get in there, and it loves to say, oh, don't say that. You're going to sound crazy, or that's probably wrong. And I'm not 100% right. Right. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But I'll tell you, I'm more right than I am wrong. And if people didn't want me doing what I'm doing, I wouldn't be doing it. But there's certainly demand for me and many others to be doing animal communication, like working on the front lines, for sure, for sure.
It's something like in some of the online communities or pages or whatever on Facebook, and I see people asking for, recommendations for communicators, and I put down your name every chance I get.
Oh, thank
And
you.
you're welcome. And I know too how so busy you are. So maybe you'll have to pass on some of your graduates for me to help promote. But yeah, no, it's so let's move into the equestrian zone here a little bit more again. So a common theme among equestrian athletes is their ability to communicate with their horse in almost an intuitive way. I think athletically, and like you said, and everybody knows horses are quite big. So it's, you have to be aware of their body and space, et cetera. So tell us what you've observed in that area. What do you think is a way for more riders to develop that kind of bond with their horse?
Gosh, you're full of good questions, Tracy. My gosh. You know, and another one, I really, this is such a thoughtful question. I don't think individuals realize how much they carry energetically into their relationship with their horse. So that fight you had with someone earlier that morning, and then say, you know, driving over to the stable and like, you know, getting ready and seeing your horse and that first greeting, it's like check your energy and leave. I want to say this quite bluntly, is leave your shit in the car, because too many I find too many riders, people who are on the horse, need to get off the horse, and they need to, I don't know if are they want to feet on the ground, do some groundwork or whatever you want to call it, but reconnect with the horse, do your own shadow work, process your own emotions, so it doesn't clutter the relationship. Like I said, you know, when you're not present, the horse will be easily distracted, doesn't want to cooperate, maybe even acts out in a big way. Maybe you get injured in the process. But all too many times, there's this sense of not showing up for them the way they're always showing up for you. So my first thing to say to someone might be just maybe just get off and do a little bit more work on with them on the ground. And you don't even need to be doing something that feels like training or productive. Do more being with them and less doing. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yes. I mean,
Yeah.
all these years, like if I'm massaging a horse and, you know, and I'm sort of across the hallway, I see a rider that's getting their horse ready. And I, back when I was teaching in the equine massage therapy program I graduated from, a lot of what I would try to make the students aware of was their energy they were bringing to the horse. Like exactly how you described. So it's been a hard day, you're rushed, you've got this, that, and still to do on the to-do list. You grab your horse out of the stall, you take, you know, all of this stuff. And I'm like, when you were talking, all I could picture was, okay, yes, the human part of it is just dumping and rushing and doing all of this stuff where the horse is like, holy cow, like what's going on here? But then the moment the human part is ready, quote unquote. It's like you drag the horse into the arena, you get on, and then all of a sudden the horse is expected to adjust their energy to a new task, right? So it's got to be extremely overwhelming for them to go, okay, wow, you're like really edgy, and now you expect me to work for you? Like
Well,
it's
this,
got to.
yeah, this reminds me of something else, Trace, because oftentimes we have these plans, laid out plans in our mind, like we have to get ready for X show or never mind shows, but say there's a deadline in the future, a timeline or something. So we need to do this, and this to get ready, or even just Friday's my day off, so I want to ride. So I would say to people, do more listening to the horse and be ready and open to changing your plans. So if when you if you are heart centered and you're in that moment, and maybe you haven't even you've laid eyes on your horse, but you have not touched the horse yet. If you can just take a moment, close your eyes, drop into your heart center, and say hello to that horse. A genuine, heartfelt, heart-centered hello. And just say, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do today? I'm listening. And if you get something that goes against your well-laid plans, go with it. Just try that once. And I tell you, that connection and that bond will only grow from there. But like I said, you don't need to be whispering it in their ear. You don't even have to have hands on them yet. It can be just so telepathic. And oftentimes, on your way to doing the something, you can check in as well and say, should we do this today, or do you want to do something slightly different? Like, how are you feeling?
That is so
What's
cool.
in my best interest and your best interest in this moment? Knowing we'll get to that goal, but maybe we won't show in August. Maybe we'll show in October, something like that,
Yeah.
you know. I think sometimes there's just such we get so hell-bent and so driven on what we want and what our goals are. And also, I know this only from reading horses, is that it's a big community in horse world, and there's a lot of conversation, there's a lot of people watching people, right? So there can be a lot of ego, and I think we need to really learn to always see the ego and allow it to go sit in that chair over there while you talk to your horse.
Love it.
Okay. And it's not about prize winning and da 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 and sport and competition, though it is. And if your horse wants to do that with you, but be open to hearing your horse say no. And not, I don't mean when you're on it and there's already a no and it's a hard no and you get thrown off. I'm talking like before that. Okay. Dropping into the heart center and having that energetic connection.
And I'll just sort of jump on the proverbial skeptical bandwagon here for any listeners that are going to be saying, well, that is awesome. And I love that idea. And I will practice that. But what if my horse says no? And I've put out all this money for this horse show, which is something like a really goal. And generally, we're working really well towards it. How do I negotiate with them, Meg? Because understandably, you can't just say no, because there is the element of the sport and the competition and the goals for the human part. So it's like, how do you find that happy medium?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on it gets case by case by case, right? Because it doesn't mean it's a no every time from that horse. It's just that day. It might just be that day, depending on what it is. And you said the key word, what animal doesn't like to negotiate, much like us humans. If you can give a horse options, if you can negotiate a little bit, maybe you're not going to give it 100% today, but maybe you're going to give it 50. And then you'll see that horse show up for you even bigger next time because you actually listened. So
I
it's
had
just, yeah, go ahead.
sorry, no, I had a flashback. A couple of the horses I've had over the years, as the human part of it, and I'm like, okay, we're gonna work on this, this, and this today. And I and they're kind of like throwing up a middle hoof going, not today, lady. And it's like, oh my God, it's so frustrating. But I think even then, in my ego state of mind as a mid-20-year-old, I was like, God, okay, fine. Then what else was I supposed to learn from this fact that this horse is basically telling me, And then I don't know, I think that was where my awareness started to pick up.
And you know, it can be a bit of a rude awakening for some people who are really just, they've got the blinders on. That's all they want. And that's usually when animals really shake things up because you need to shake something up too inside of you.
Yeah,
And so,
absolutely.
yeah, this is just bridging a really, really interesting thoughts in my mind too about how often actually, that's when I usually get the readings, right? When people are really at their wits' end.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And then they bring the horse to me, and I gotta say, don't shoot the messenger, but this is what's coming up. And some people don't like it. And I would be doing you a complete disservice just to tell you what you want to hear. And I have to really find my courage to share that. Because a lot of my ego is like, uh-oh, this is not so good. But usually I ask the horse, kind of like, is there a silver lining here? Like, how can this human benefit from this? And it usually goes into soul level animal communication, which is, why is that horse with that human? On paper, it might look like it's for sport, or showing or whatever that is. But underneath, there's usually something deeper. Right? There's some sort of lesson, some sort of opportunity to grow, to evolve. And it's not always easy because if it was easy, that individual would have already thought of it themselves and they've already implemented it. But what I'm talking about is things that are a little bit more deep-seated. Okay. So they could be going back into feelings of insecurity or confidence. Or personal worth, personal value. Oh, it runs the gamut. I couldn't even begin to say all the things that
Wow.
I can kind of tap into at a soul level.
I love that. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of things running through my brain again, but I think, where am I going back with this? So yes, when you did say that, sometimes people reach out to you as like the last ditch effort of trying to figure out the horse, and I cannot tell you how many times I've been massaging, and yeah, like the vets looked at the horse, like multiple vets, they've had different trainers, they've done all this stuff, and something's just not working. And I'll just kind of say, have you thought of having a communicator talk to them? And again, that's like, be brave, be courageous, ask the question, because some people are like, what? Like, that's crazy. Or they're kind of like, I don't know, like maybe I should. And I don't know. I think it's definitely an interesting thing, and people that have been in quote unquote desperate situations to figure out their horse have talked to the communicator, and the communicator has given them some really cool answers that nobody else would have figured out.
Yeah, it's very unconventional. You know,
Yes.
I'm not a trainer, I'm not a behavioralist or anything like that. I really just listen to the animal. And so, you know, and I still laugh because I don't know all the body parts on a horse. I'll say left butt cheek, right butt cheek. I'll say, you know, front left foot, front, you know, right left, whatever. You know, I'm just like, okay, let's just get down to business because I'm not pretending I'm someone I'm not, and I'm open to the unconventional. I'm also open to the conventional. Sometimes I bring up stuff. People are like, oh, that sounds like this. You know, I didn't even know what Liberty training was. And I was
Right.
like, and here I found myself just working with a horse, being like, oh, hi, I guess this is what we're doing, aren't we?
Share that
Right?
with us. You mentioned that to me before we pressed record. Was your experience with Liberty training?
Yeah, I mean, it was something that I'd was just hanging out at the barn with a couple friends, and they took out one of their mares and said, you know, this is what I'm working on. And one sister was directing the other sister and saying, like, now do this, now do that. And then I chimed in and I said, just drop into your heart, just be present, just. It's almost like a somatic experience, and the somatic, it's all the rage now. I don't know if you're aware of that, but like
Yep.
somatic exercises and being in your body, which is, it's been around forever, but now it's just a little bit more trendy. And I knew the one friend was doing somatic exercises as a form of kind of healing and therapy for herself. And I said, just like somatic, just be conscious of your body. And then move with intention as if there's an energetic cord between you and the horse. And I said, well, let me try. Let me try. And I got up. And the mare's name's Philly. And she was off in the corner and completely distracted. She was over it. So I just went and I stood with her. And I realized in that moment how much I was not in my body. And so it was a nice reality check. And I just sunk into myself. And I literally spoke to myself. I said, I'm in my body. And I just felt my body and just like a little body scan from my head to my toes. And I just felt like a little, not a click, but there was something there. And then I lured her out of the corner and we were walking and I was like, oh, hey, look at me go. And then I started laughing and I was a little bit out of touch again. And then she went off and did her own thing. But as easily as I stepped in to her energetic field and connected to her was as quickly as I stepped out too. So it's just such subtle energy.
Wow.
And the girls are laughing. They thought it was a hoot that I did that. And I was laughing too because I think I'm really cautious around horses. You know, sometimes they're the nicest horse, and sometimes they're nipping at me and I'm like, what's going on here? You know? And then sometimes there's the complete opposite, the ones that are like, oh, don't go too close to that one. And I'm like, well, let me just try.
Yep.
And they warm up to me. So it's more of an energy thing than personality for me.
Yep.
And they're always schooling me. They're always schooling me, trying to teach me something, all the animals all the time. So
That's
yeah,
so
that's my
cute.
experience.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think the human interpretation of what
a horse may say, or any animal, right? Because oftentimes, guaranteed, if you're talking to a horse person, they probably have like a couple of dogs and five cats at home as well. So like there's there's that huge animal love going on. But I do find it interesting, like in some of my conversations with the little things that I pick up, how the human part of the component, the relationship, their interpretation is very human. It doesn't go too much deeper than that, like you said, dropping into what maybe the horse is thinking or feeling. What do you pick up on that?
Oh, yeah. I always say, sorry, I'm just being human. And I think we all just need to apologize to the animals because we're not always syncing up with them in the way that they want to be heard and the way they want to be seen
Yeah.
and treated for that matter. I'm not sure if I'm kind of having a departure here from your question. Maybe you can go a little bit further on that.
Well, I was just thinking, like, so for instance, I don't know, just generally the human in the relationship. And I'll just tell you like a funny story. Years and years ago, there was a well-known communicator that came to this barn that I was at while massaging, and I'd done the massage. So I just kind of stood back and watched her walk through the barn, and she wanted everything pulled off the front of the stalls. So all she saw, there was no indication of male, female, by nameplate or whatever, right? And she got stuck in front of this one horse's stall, and she's standing there and the look on her face. And all of a sudden, she starts to laugh and she's like, all right, the only thing that I am picking up that I am hearing is I'm a boy, I'm a boy, I'm a boy, I'm a boy, and went on. And it turned out that this human of the relationship insisted on dressing this gelding up as in pink.
I love it.
And isn't that funny? So
Yeah.
it doesn't have to be, and I know I've had clients where the horses said, you know, I don't really like my name. I'd like you to call me something else. And this is a story that I love that I tell a lot of my clients is that one person who was very skeptical about this process had their horse read, and the horse said, do not take me out of my stall in the morning without telling me where we're going when we get on the trailer, right? Like they wanted to know ahead of time. So that's something, I mean, I carry with me every time I leave the house and I talk to my cats. Like I'll just make sure they know that, you know, mommy will be back in two sleeps if I'm heading away for work or something. Like just that kind of thing. Like, do you have any funny or heartwarming stories about situations like that? And I know you said you don't tend to remember them all, but.
I know it's awful my memory sometimes. It's just there's a couple things that you kind of just said that spark some ideas in me, but the whole gender thing was kind of amazing to me, how animals can be of a certain gender, but they can carry different energy, a more masculine or feminine energy. And I actually use this one horse named Cotton quite often because she is a boss mare, capital BOSS mare. And Cotton can be a very androgynous name, and she is a she. But all the time when the students read her, they say he and give she the he pronoun. And in this instance, this boss mare Cotton doesn't mind. She does not mind that. Okay, she likes it. She likes that sense of authority, stature, dominance, power, etc. But some other animals, like in this case, this horse that you're saying, I'm a boy, I'm a boy, I'm a boy. Okay, so is trying to course correct everything and bring it into alignment. But gendered parts plus energy, right? But probably
Okay.
carries a very feminine energy, which what is what that caregiver, that owner is probably picking up on, or they just really like pink. I'm not sure. But sometimes we don't realize our own intuition is at work and how many times we might be calling a male dog she, and then the caregiver goes, oh, well, it's actually a he. and you go, oh, sorry. And it's like, no, you're just picking up on the energy. That's okay. And I find them to be very forgiving about that. So I find that story really funny that this one horse probably because probably getting outfitted in way too much pink.
I think
If
that
I'm,
was the thing, yes.
it was just an overkill. It's like, okay, put me in something else, right? And then the other things you brought up was so interesting is that how do we communicate to animals when we're not with them? And so much of communicating with them is through our mind's eye, clairvoyantly, through the images and the pictures that we paint for them. So when you say you're leaving, you're just kind of like, I'm going to be back in two sleeps, not Tuesday at 7 o'clock, because they don't know. They don't work on that clock like us. They work on the moon cycle. So if you're saying, like, okay, I'm going to be back in two sleeps, I'll see you soon, it's just reassuring for them, right? Oftentimes, us humans are working on such an autopilot, just going through day-to-day life, running and gunning, and we forget to communicate or bring our animals into the fold. The only problem is you can work telepathically. You can send them visions, images, talk to them in your mind's eye, which does work. And if you do it and practice it, you'll notice there's a response. You just have to notice it. We often like we don't we just don't do that enough. We just don't like stop and slow down and send that message through telepathic communication. But then the next layer of that is that sometimes our words are not congruent with what our mental images and messages are. So in our mind's eye, we're like, okay, we're gonna go and we're gonna go do a couple laps today, for example. And I'm gonna show you like running around the track and like we're just gonna just go nice and slow, okay? And no neck-breaking speed here. And then But then next thing your horse is hearing you talking to your friend, like, oh yeah, we're gonna go hard today, like we've got to really work today. And then the horse is like, wait, but you just what? Like you're miscommunicating with me. You're sending me mixed messages, mixed signals. So we have to be really self-aware. And truly, animal communication is just a journey of that level of self-awareness as well, right? Just being aware of what is the animal asking? What is the animal saying? What does the animal want? And how do I dovetail into that?
Wow.
How do my wants, desires, and needs dovetail into that?
And I think too, like, it keeps popping into my mind when you and I first met, and I had my little Lucy that you talked to a few times for me. And you had me try this little, I don't know, try this little game, little exercise where if she was in the room with me, I would think, I would say inside my head, Lucy, Lucy. Like I would just, so I wouldn't say it out loud, just to see if I could get her to even turn to look at me. Or if she were sitting somewhere, I'd, talk to her inside my head saying, come here, like, hey, Luce, that kind of thing. And the first time she did it, and looked up at me and started walking towards me, I was like, oh my God. It was just, it put me in the moment and recognizing that the, I don't know, loud, big movements, things like that don't need to be necessarily involved in the art of communication with your animal.
And you also said something really important, and you didn't say it, but I felt it from you just now, is that you believed that you could.
Yes.
You believed I can, and I will, and there is the fruits of your labors. She's just like, hi, look how easy that was, you know? And you're like, wow, all that other heavy lifting I've been trying to do to get your attention is like, it's a moot point. I don't need to do that.
Exactly.
Right? Not bigger, harder, faster is not always better. Subtle, like I said earlier, is like less doing, more being. And,
So
you know, yeah, it's a, we're
on,
just in a really fast-paced society. So I think we're all just trying to keep up with each other.
yeah, exactly. Keeping up with that to-do list and the list we have on our phones, etc. So just to kind of like go down that path that you touched on there is like whether or not we believe it. So when you first went down this career path for yourself, how did you deal with people who doubted you or were skeptical of animal communication? What kind of mindset did you have to adopt so that you could stay the course and stay true to your newfound intentions and your gift?
It was where I was listening. I had to really focus where my listening was, and it was to the people who valued my service, who wanted my service, and who also were advocating for me to do the work that I was doing, that I am doing as an animal communicator early on. And I had to tune out the extra noise. It's really just about where your attention goes, energy flows. And if you know me, when you do a reading with me, I set a very strong intention at the beginning of a reading. So, you know, I'm working with full integrity, full transparency, what guides and angels I'm going to bring in to help you and your animal communicate. And I always say your intention is synonymous with your attention. And I'll say it again for anyone listening, where your attention goes, your energy flows. And the thing is, we're just not always aware of the non-physical. We're not aware of that energy or that white space between ourselves and the next object in the room. But there's so much happening in between us. Like I even just gave that example of that liberty training of that energetic cord between me and the horse. And I truly had to believe that that existed. And for people who think it's woo-woo or strange, that's okay. I have compassion in my heart for them. They're certainly obviously not my clients. And there have been some people who are curious. And I say, as long as that door is open, a crack of curiosity, come in with an open heart and open mind, and let's see how we do. Okay. But I find the energy of working with someone who's just so closed off, it's not worth my time or energy, and it's not worth their time.
True.
So I just say, you know, to each his own, agree to disagree.
Yeah. Wow. All right, Meg. So, yeah, like as we mentioned earlier in our little conversation here, that you do offer courses. Like I said, I took part in that foundations course and it was so cool. And it gave me a huge sort of like a shot in my arm, like, hey, Mitchell, you're able to do some of this stuff. I don't, it's one of those long list of things that I'm like, wow, I could really get into this more, but I've got such a long list. I don't know what more I could take on, but I'm a full-blown believer. I sense it, I feel it. Can you share with the listeners some of what you offer, how you branch out and help other people find their gift as well?
Yeah, so I do a lot of online workshops. I would say they're all online workshops. So if you're coming to me and saying, "Oh, is this online or that online?" It's all online. So you can be anywhere. You can be doing this from the comfort of your home in any country, basically around the world, as long as our times sync up, time zone wise. And yeah, so Foundations to Animal Communication that you did, Tracy, it's a 3.5 hour online workshop. It's a one-time workshop. It's recorded for you, and you can take it home and watch and rewatch as much as you like. These are small group, very intimate settings. So one thing I always had a problem with courses that I just felt like I was swimming in a sea of people. And for me, it was always about finding my confidence. So I like to be in small groups where everybody has a voice, and I encourage everyone to have a voice and to allow the facilitation to take that very engaging role, like take place. And so we have the Foundations to Animal Communication, and then you can join the community after. So just have a private Facebook page, and we've got just over 100 communicators in the group that are always on hand. So you can post a photo of an animal that you're looking for messages on and get real-time messages back from other communicators. And you can go on to level one, level two, level three. I do have a couple apprentices now. And yeah, really excited that people are just starting to find their confidence and their courage and like start a business and start offering services more widely. And that just gets me so excited because this is the future of the animal world is everyone's going to have a vet, but everyone's going to also have an animal communicator on hand. And I really do want people to show up in their full authentic power and just help the world, help humans and animals come into equilibrium. So that's why I offer the courses. And so that I'm not the only one, and I don't have too much pressure on me, because it can be a lot of pressure sometimes. I won't lie. I
Yes. Wow.
won't lie, but it's
So,
really fulfilling.
well, I had the honor. I was so honored when you asked me if your students, what was it? Oh, it
Oh,
was,
yeah.
yeah, my horse Leuven. So longtime listeners of this will know. And if you're new to it, and if you want to hear a little bit about my story with my heart horse Leuven, then go all the way back to episode one. And Meg knew of my Leuven story. And what was it? You wanted me, I gave you some pictures for your graduate class.
I remember that was, I think they were level twos at the time. So now we have a level three. Geez, they just keep wanting more classes. I'm like, okay,
Okay.
we'll do more, because no one was ready to step out. They're like, we need more training, Meg. I'm like, oh, okay. They want it, I build it. That's how I am. But yeah, it was Leuven, and oh, Tracy, I listened to that recording, and I was not only in tears, but just moved by your storytelling. And I said, oh, this is such a bond. We need to dig into this. So if the students come in cold, all they get is a photograph. That's how I read too, just from photographs. Some students don't even use photo at first. That's the way I was trained at first, no photo. But we do, for the sake of our human experiences, our eyes like to see a photograph. And yeah, you just presented them with a photo and they started reading. And I don't know what, maybe you speak to your experience with that, because these are six individuals you've never met before, and you're
Exactly.
coming in and sharing and being vulnerable and listening and taking it in. And
Yeah.
what was that like for you?
Wow. It like I had a couple of Kleenexes ready because I knew that it would sort of get me going with some tears. But yes, out of the six people, I would have to say four nailed, especially two. Two in particular were bang on with Leuven's story and our connection. So yeah, that blew me away. Then the other two were, yes, that was good. Two weren't quite on it, but they did pick up some important points. But it was just wild. It was special. I felt like because Leuven and I were special, and back to what you said a while ago, Meg, as to why certain horses or any animal, but we're talking about horses here, how certain horses come into our lives for certain reasons, right? And I think that's something extra special about the horse is that you don't take them home with you inside to cuddle on the couch at night. That there's only certain a realm of connection or interactions that you have. So yeah, it was very special to go through that. I was honored to have you have me be a part of it. And yeah, I don't know, it just reaffirmed Leuven and I's purpose and what she really meant to my life in the 10-year span that she was there for me. Yeah.
You have to be vulnerable to kind of be a guest client, right? So that's why I thought, well, she already told the story, so
Yeah.
we're just kind of going into the archives a little bit deeper. And that's more of like a level, that was the graduating class for level two. So anyone listening, I don't throw in clients just like that. I level one is just you and me and a group of small group of students. I'm not bringing in clients. People are like, that's a bit much, Meg. No, I'll
Yeah.
build you up to that for sure. But now that we have the level three, I wonder, Tracy, I'm going to say this now for the record, I'd love to have you back. I'd love to
Yeah.
have the level threes do some animal communication with Leuven again, because I think that one transcends time. Leuven's now in spirit, but that relationship is still alive. And I think that's what people forget, is once a horse transitions, there can still be an ongoing communication in a relationship. And
Yeah.
it's not like it's over and there's closure. It's just finding a new way to connect.
Yes.
And that can be through the signs, symbols, and synchronicities of the afterlife. And that's a whole nother conversation. But yeah, I'll stay on the record for that. Tracy, I'd love to have you back. Yeah.
Well, Meg, I'd be honored again. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then I think after your students talked to me and shared with me what they heard, they then went to listen to the episode, correct?
Yeah, I directed them back to your
Yeah.
episode one, and yeah, many of them were in tears
Aw.
because I don't know, you can't fake it, right? And I also with our human animal relationships, the human horse relationships, it's you get what you need, not what you want.
Aha.
So if we can surrender to that, you know, but that's why I kind of threw in earlier. I'm like, we are such a fast-paced society of instant gratifications. I want it, I got it. And the animals, especially the horses, tell you to slow down, slow your roll, let me lead. And that's a beautiful thing. When it's like some of us say, you know, there's this, some people think there's a hierarchy, humans up here, down animals down here. And some people have that core belief unknowingly in the back of their mind. And they have that kind of push pull with as soon as we bring that into their conscious awareness of it being more of a partnership, even just communicating a horse's messages. I believe in the miracles of animal communication. And I do believe that sometimes just letting an animal, specifically a horse, speak their truth and speak their mind, it can adjust the energy just enough to make something new click. And then, but I can say most of the time, the human's got to do some sort of heavy lifting or some sort of self-introspection
Wow.
to meet them there. Yeah. And
Oof.
yeah, I mean, I can't make this stuff up. It's just, I just see it. And it's like, holy cow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
It's so cool. And I told, you know, horses, they throw their weight in, you're like, you're donezo. Be
Yeah.
careful. You're not going to the hospital, right? So
Exactly.
they are some of the greatest, most powerful teachers for us as
Yes, they
humans.
are.
Whether you have a primary contract with them and you're the owner and the rider, or if you're just the rider, or you're the massage therapist, or you're the vet or vet tech, or you're just putting the tack on, you know, like just we have so many levels and layers with so many animals around us that you don't have to be they don't have to be yours by ownership, right?
Yeah.
They can be just one that you see now and again. And you have a nice relationship with, and it's you're learning something. So be open to receiving from all the horses, even
Yeah.
those that are like three stalls down and you've no business with them. Say hello to them, acknowledge them.
Yep.
You'd be amazed at how many of them are like, pick me, my community, my owner's not even talking to me. They're just pulling me around and they're playing with me and talking with one hand and you know, talking to the friend over there and then trying to do this with my head. And I'm like, no. Look at me. Focus on me.
Aw.
I'm on a tangent. I'll stop.
Oh no,
I feel like I'm talking on their behalf sometimes, you know,
I love
step
that.
into character a bit, you know, right with the
Yes.
animal. So,
So, okay, Meg. So last question here. And what are the best slash not worst, that I don't really like that word. What are some of the challenging parts about what you do? And how do you celebrate the successes and cope with some of the down days or challenging days?
that's great. That's a great question. Geez, you're like speaking to my heart here. I would say energy management, energy hygiene is huge for me. Energy work takes a lot out of me, and I've been burnt out a few times where I've had to take a lot of time off. And so for me, it's knowing when to say no and not being a people pleaser of saying, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. And just getting out in nature and spending time with my dog, Rue, and just cutting loose and having no one to answer to, but grounding and giving back to myself because in this work, it's a lot of giving. And so for me to be open and receptive to taking care of my own energy, knowing when to push, when to pull, when to go fast, and when to slow down is really, really important. So I would say that I'm answering kind of two parts of your question. One is like the reward for me is really hiking in nature and spending time in nature and also spending time around animals with no expectation for me to breed. and so that I can just kind of be in my humanness, which is not always the case. I always find myself, like in the case of the Liberty training, I just found myself in an opportunity and I didn't put any pressure on myself because I didn't even have to get up and say, oh, let me try. I could have just sat there and enjoyed the experience of being around people who love their horses. So for me, it's like putting myself in settings with animals where I don't have to read them and I can just be my human self. Because I think I spend a lot of time as my multidimensional self reading, communicating, connecting. And it's a hard lesson, I'll say. It wasn't easy just to take time off and to manage my energy, but I did. I got pretty sick, I won't lie. So a big part of the training that we do now is that energy hygiene, grounding exercises. You know, it's the practices that surround animal communication, not just the practice of animal communication. So your how much you eat, how much or what you're eating, how much hydration you're getting, even just like therapy, even just taking care of yourself, mind, body, spirit, going to the gym, going for walks, whatever that looks like. But really, it's a balancing act for sure. For sure,
Wow.
for sure. Yeah, but so much love. You know, I also love when people email me weeks later and go, this didn't make sense at the time, but you know what? Oh my gosh. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like, that's
Yeah.
awesome. So that's really validating too, is when I get the feedback from people who weren't sure about a reading and they're like, oh yeah, Meg, this and this. So I like the
Yeah.
updates.
Now that's, I mean, like I said, I think I had you read Lucy twice, and the last time you read her wasn't that long before afterwards she transitioned and went over the little bridge. And it was funny because I'm like, God, I really want to know what she's got to say. And you're like, Trace, she's not saying a thing, which really upset me. And the human part of me ticked me off because I wanted answers, but it was her voice. She lost her voice literally due to like a thyroid tumor affecting her vocal cords. So that completely made sense, right? So it's like I expected an answer in the moment, and you kind of coached me through that and was able to give me quote unquote something to satisfy my needs in the moment. But it wasn't until afterwards I'm like, oh my God, that makes complete sense. She literally cannot talk to me right now because of her situation. It was wild.
Yeah, and you know, I just wanted to speak on that. First of all, wow, that's so cool. It's like I'm hearing it for the first time. And the other part is like my intuition calls in your intuition. So sometimes I do get kind of breadcrumbs or things that require you to put the dots together. But I think that's part of the animal calling you in to be like, you can do this. And it's not you, but it's anybody.
Right.
That you can have that aha moment of like, oh, that makes so much more sense to me. And that's really you still communicating with the animal long after I've left the equation.
Right.
So people have this like, it's like that law of attraction. Like frequency attracts like frequency. People who come to me for readings, they've got something in them it's like kindling for a fire, and I just kind of start the fire. And then they go off and they have a deeper, more meaningful relationship with an animal, whether here or past. So
Right.
I do believe I see that happen, and I think it's good. Like everyone should be their own animal communicator at the end of the
Exactly.
day, or at least feel like they're empowered enough to have that confidence. And I validate a lot of people. A lot of people know, they know, like,
Gotcha.
oh, that's what I felt. Oh, that's what I thought. I said exactly. So keep going. Keep going. You're right on the right track. I'm here to say, on behalf of your horse, keep going.
Aw.
Yeah.
Oh, Meg, how can people reach out to you if they want to, sign up for your course, or if you, I know you're busy, if you have time to talk to one of their animals, how can people reach out?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still doing personal readings, absolutely, and the workshops are always a go. My website's a great place to start for information. There's a frequently asked questions page. There is a workshops page. Beyond just the animal communication workshops, I should just mention that there is, I'm not sure when this is going to get published, Tracy, and I might be a little bit behind, but on the 14th of February, I'll be running my third annual Healing Hearts workshop for people who've loved and lost an animal companion. And so I do run that once a year. So there's other stuff, and all at moderndaydoolittle.com. So Doolittle with one O, dot com.
Okay, that is
Yeah, or
awesome.
social media, and it's all the links. Everything can be found through the website, no problem.
Awesome. Well, thank you, my friend. This has
Thank
been
you.
so much fun, and I know it's a little off the quote unquote usual topic of, but this is what this podcast has always been about. It's about talking to different people in different elements and areas of the industry. And this is the word heart, that feeling, that connection keeps coming up with this one the whole time. And I am so, I feel very grateful that you were able to come on here and share your stories and open up some minds.
Thank you so much. From my heart to yours as well. Thank you so much, Tracy. I appreciate your time too.
All right. Well, you take care, Meg. Thank
Thank you.
you.
Bye.
So there you have it. I have some great interviews lined up for future episodes, and we'll be covering some pretty interesting topics, as always, with the intent to open and engage the horse world on a wide variety of issues. So until next time, keep your eyes forward and continue to hit your stride. To stay current with Hitting Your Stride, subscribe on my website or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. If you like what you've heard here today, make sure you share and leave a comment to help guide future episodes and widen the audience. And be sure to check out social media to keep up to date with Equestrian Elements Life Coaching.